All right, today on the Tea Podcast, we have a great episode for you. We have Caleb Bryan, right?
That's right.
Yeah, not Byron, Caleb Bryan. He is the Cajun food critic, basically a local food reviewer, if you're not familiar with that term. Basically, he goes around the South Louisiana area and tries out different restaurants and food trucks and places that serve food. And he talks about it. There are times where the food is really good, and there is times the food may not be good. So we're going to be talking about all of that and more. So stick around and enjoy the show. Alrighty. So, Caleb, how is it going?
It's going really well, man. Thanks for having me, and I'm definitely excited to be here, man.
Awesome, awesome. Well, so before we get started, our presenting sponsor is Chase Group Construction. This is Developing Lafayette, the Tea Podcast, so if you're looking to build a business or renovate a business, check out Chase Group Construction. They take the lead and become your one point of contact for the entire design-build process. They built a lot of crap. Not crap, but a lot of stuff. There you go. A lot of good stuff. The Fat Pats in Broussard and Bro Bridge, they built those. So really cool stuff. You're going to want to check his website out, chasegroupconstruction.com. So they built medical centers, like I said, popular restaurants and shopping centers. They built a lot of stuff. Check it out, their website, chasegroupconstruction.com. Great guys, local guys. Support them because they support us. All right, so Caleb, welcome to the Tea Podcast.
Thanks, buddy.
So I want to know, are you originally from South Louisiana?
Yeah, so I'm actually born and raised in Morgan City, Louisiana.
Morgan City.
Yeah, good old Morgan City. It's small, but it can be big when we have the Shrimp and Petroleum Festival and everything.
Well, you have city in the name. It's got to be a little bit biggish.
It's like 3.4 miles.
Okay.
From the
okay.
radius. So it's, to me, that's very tiny. Like, you know, because we're an island. We were originally called, I think it was Tiger Island or something in the 1800s.
Cause wow.
That's where the tigers roamed, you know, back in the day. So, yeah, we're a little small. We're all swamp.
Yeah. I've only stopped in Morgan City a couple times. There was a job that I had several years ago selling Letterman jackets and class rings and stuff. Cool. Yeah, I was doing that for a company here in town. And we went to Morgan City, one of the schools there, and did a bunch of Letterman jacket measurements and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Made some sales.
Yeah. I didn't make commission off of it. It would have been nice. Mr. Business Owner, you know who you are if you're watching. But he did pay. He paid me an hourly rate.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm curious. Since you're from this area, obviously we're surrounded by tons of good food. Mm-hmm. How did you get started in food reviewing, and why in the world would you want to submit yourself to that amount of pressure?
You know, it's the craziest thing thinking about it, but even whenever social media happened, opinions started really flying out more than normal in real life, right? Because mm-hmm. we can all say things on the internet that not be worried so much when it comes down to, you know, person's going to just fight me for saying it to his face, right? So, like, you know, growing up, I kind of grew up in a household where my dad kind of, you know, he's not a chef, but he is a chef. I mean, the man can just cook like crazy and cook with unbelievable, like, seasonings and just make everything, you know, from scratch. And so he kind of introduced me to, like, what good food is and what bad food is. So at a very young age, I knew, like, McDonald's is not what should be classified as good or even okay or even decent. You know, shout out to McDonald's because they did feed me as a kid.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, I would always post on Facebook about my experiences and with pictures and what I thought about a place And people were like, oh, you should be a food critic. You should be a food critic. You should write. And a couple years ago, I was bored and said, you know what? I want to start a critique page because I'm tired of people coming after me on my own page. So, you know, my own profile. So let me go ahead and start this critique page and do what I do, which is, you know, I write reviews, I make videos, and just expressing not even, I mean, it's my opinion, but my experience, which is the most important key, you know, and because everyone has a different experience. You know, you might go somewhere and have the best. I might go 2 minutes after you, have the same exact food, exact waitress, and have the complete opposite.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sucky thing about, you know, restaurants with consistency. But you know, it was back in 2021, I decided to go ahead and do it. And I'm not really afraid of what people think. I never really cared.
Okay, that's good.
You know, I wasn't ever scared to ever say, even in person, if something wasn't right or something. And you know, I believe in telling somebody something, especially for a restaurant. If you order something without mayo and it comes with extra mayo, you shouldn't eat that, especially with me, because I'm like, that's gross, you know?
Yeah. All right. So I'm pretty sure you're familiar with some of the more well-known food people in social media. There's one name in particular. I don't even have to tell you who this guy is, but you could probably tell me the name right now.
Maybe, because I really don't know critics, believe it or not.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a video watcher. All right,
so go ahead and throw out a name that you think I might be thinking about.
Everyone talks about Keith Lee.
Keith Lee.
I've never, I guess I've only seen one, and that was the other day for the first time.
Okay. So Keith Lee is probably the most, I don't know if I want to use the word prolific, but he has definitely done a lot for not just restaurants and all that good stuff that he's gone to. That, I mean, he's done so much in that respect and doesn't get paid a dime from the restaurants.
Really?
Doesn't take money. He pays for his food anonymously or has his mom or his wife call the store and order or do an online order. Okay. Doesn't get paid, because that would be a conflict of interest. You know, if you're getting paid for it, you almost feel obligated to 100%. Talk good about it. Like, oh, this burrito freaking sucks, but I got paid $200 to tell people that it's good.
It's good.
Like, that's not good to do.
No.
So Keith Lee, he's said over and over and many times, and you know, I don't know him personally, but he comes across as a very stand-up guy, at least in a lot of his content. And so I choose to believe him because he's been consistently on point with stating that he doesn't get paid and how he approaches restaurants. So it's really cool. Yeah. So I'm in a second, I'm curious to see like your process and like your, how you go about going into these restaurants and some of the different techniques. There's also a couple of other food reviewers. A couple of them that I know of are mainly in Texas, Houston and Dallas area. I think predominantly Houston. One of them, his name is Wayne Dang. He's an Asian guy, he is very animated in his review, and he does them all in his car.
Okay.
Pretty much. Okay. Keith Lee was known for doing his food reviews inside of his garage, sitting in a, I want to say it was a Paw Patrol chair or something like that.
Okay.
Like, if you ever go back to his original, like, early day content, like, in his garage, sitting in, like, a kid's fold-out chair doing these food reviews. Wow. But Wayne, he will do his food reviews in the car. A lot of people do it in the car.
Yeah, I noticed that.
There was an older gentleman on TikTok. A lot of these are on TikTok, so if you're listening and curious where a lot of these food reviewers are, they're on TikTok. They also are on Facebook as well, but nationally known names are on TikTok at this point. So Wayne, like I said, does it in his car, but there was an older man that was probably, he was a school teacher, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's approaching I think he's in his 80s, and he was sitting in his car one day, and he just started filming himself eating a simple burger. I think it was from McDonald's or Burger King. It was like just a small little burger. And he looks like an old man. Like he's got the discoloration on his arms. He looks small and frail. And he gave his opinion on the burger and talked it up. And people in the comments were like, this is so wholesome. Like this old man talking about this food. Now he might be lying, but he bought the food himself. Absolutely. So he's talking about this food and he talked about being on like dietary restrictions and how much he can eat and what can he eat, his blood sugar level. So he was talking about all that. So he has to approach things in a way. But also, he's on fixed income, so he can't afford to go to the expensive places that Keith Lee has been fortunate to go to, because Keith Lee makes a lot of money on TikTok views, not being paid by the restaurant, but the view count, because he gets millions of views on his videos. So with all that being said, establishing a kind of a foundation of food reviewers. So if anybody wants to look those up, there's a couple more in the area of Houston and Louisiana. But I think another local Lafayette food reviewer, food blogger, however you want to name her name, is Tori. I can't tell you her last name at the very moment. I think I have her booked on the podcast. Give me 1 second. I'm going to find out her name. Tori Lemoine.
Tori Lemoine. So
she is a local TikToker, and she's got a decent following, and she cooks at home, but she also will, like, go eat somewhere. And I'm pretty sure she was paid by McDonald's to do a video on TikTok once.
Really?
Because she used some language, not bad language, but she used certain verbiage that – screamed.
Okay.
Paid. So, Tori, if you're listening, I guess I apologize for talking about it. It's not bad, but I respect the game for getting paid to do a video.
Sure.
Especially for McDonald's of all people. But in her video, she was eating one of the burgers, and she used this term, fluffy bun.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like, nobody's vocabulary is thinking, oh, fluffy bun. Like, you know, it felt very promotionally spoken. And it just felt like a predetermined set of talking points.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah. Anyway, enough about all the other people. You are a food reviewer, food critic. Sure. Cajun critic. And if you're listening, his links are on the caption of the video, so his Facebook and TikTok links are there. But I want to know, what is your process? Obviously, before we get started, people were messaging you were getting messages about hey, check out this place. And then
always
I'm sure now that people are seeing that your following is growing, because it happens with us. We get reached out all the time, like, hey, we're starting a new business. Can you please write about us? I'm like, I do want to.
Yeah.
I have others, too, so I'm trying. But what's your process? What goes through a normal day's, I don't want to call it work, but a normal day's food reviewer content?
Yeah, so it's the craziest thing. You know, I wake up in the morning, you know, and the first thing I do is, of course, look at my phone and, you know, I have a what you people call it's a real job. I have a real job, and I do that, you know, daily. I'm a contract driver, but when I'm not doing that, I'm doing food critiques. And so I wake up in the morning and I look at my very, very, very long list. And right now, as you guys know, I'm kind of focusing for the Lafayette, Broussard, Karen Crow, you know, Abbeville, you know, areas. And it's a lot. It's last I checked was like 73, and that was yesterday. But this morning there's a 4 or 5 more added to that.
So this is the amount of messages you have?
That's the places I have to go.
Oh, the places you have to go.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like over 70.
You're not gonna get to all of those.
I've done. It was a lot bigger. It was probably like 95, 98, and I've done. About 15 a week, sometimes 20. But as you guys know, I do 15 or 20. Another 20 gets added the next week, so it's never ending.
Wow. Okay. So 15 to 20 spots a week.
Yeah.
I think the obvious question would be, are you paying for the food outright, or is some of it provided to you for an honest review?
Most of the time I'm paying, but there are times where people say, hey, you know, whatever you got, whatever you want, you know, if you don't mind coming promote the restaurant, good or bad, because I always tell people, you understand if it's bad, I'm not going to say it's good.
Right.
You know, one of the biggest things, and sadly, even in the past where I've gone to places and had where I've, you know, told the owners such thing, I've had to say it was bad because it was bad, you know, it was given. But I also, you know, I understand, like, you know, if something's wrong, like someone gives me a raw burger, I try to give that person a chance to make it right, to fix that. Don't put it back on the grill. Give me another burger.
Yeah,
you
give
know?
Me a new one.
And which, you know, yeah, that just recently happened. But, you know,
okay. Yeah, it just recently happened. Obviously, yeah. I don't want you to name drop.
Sure,
a place.
Sure.
This is not a show
yet. So,
well, either way, I like good karma. I like good vibes, and mm-hmm. I try my best to stay out of dogging any kind of business.
Me too.
Because there's enough negative that can find the positive, I try to stick with that.
Yeah.
But so this actually happened. You got a raw burger and you needed to send it back.
Yeah. So that happens. That happened twice in the last 3 weeks. Most recently, just recently, I went to a restaurant and the burger was definitely still moving. And
that's not good for ground beef.
No,
you don't want that for ground beef.
Not whenever you bite into it and there's blood coming out your mouth and dripping down. It's, you know, which is, I think it's myoglobin. It's not really
blood. Yeah, it's not really blood.
It surely tastes like it.
Oh,
I guess,
no.
Huh?
Oh, no. And okay, so for those listening, the thing is with ground beef, you're like, oh, why can't you have a burger that has a little bit of pink? You can.
Sure.
Most restaurants will say that their burgers are cooked medium. Is it medium well? I think it's what it is.
Yeah.
Which is very light pink. But typically, a burger is good, well done. If you're not a person that likes well done,
I'm not a person who likes well done. I actually like medium. But
dude, you like yours pinker.
I like mine pink, but I don't like it red. Pink and red, there's a difference.
But,
you know?
So what I'm getting at is, so why can a steak be pink or red versus a burger? So here's the thought behind that. The thought process is ground beef is essentially a steak that was ground up and processed to be ground beef. Mm-hmm. Your steaks, until they're cut, the only contaminants that they technically have are on the outside rim of the steak. The inside of the steak, the actual center piece, is as pristine as it's going to get.
Yeah.
And so what happens is when you take that steak and you put it on a grill, it's you can have all the inside, you know, pink if you want it, or raw. Some people like rare.
Yes,
and like, I'm not about that.
No.
Look, I'm a medium well. I'll go medium, but sometimes I have to heat it back up. Yeah. But a steak is good to do undercooked because there's less bacteria in there. Now, ground beef, you're grounding all of that exterior together. Yeah. And so it's less of a good thing to have more pink.
Definitely.
Yeah. So definitely. Just putting that out there.
Some education for you guys right there.
Hopefully they already knew that. But if you didn't, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when you go to a place and you buy a rotisserie chicken, right? And you probably know who I'm talking about. You could probably see in your head. But you go to a place and you get rotisserie chicken and it's still half raw. And people put it back in the oven 6 hours after it's been sitting there, you know, and put it back in the oven just to cook it. I'm like, salmonella exists.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And look, my wife and I, we love rotisserie chicken. And
me too, buddy.
And
seriously.
Look, I've never had a bad rotisserie chicken yet. So
come on.
Look, we've hit the good lottery on that one, I guess.
Yeah.
So a commenter, look, I'm going to try to pronounce your name. And I know you're an avid follower. Fruge Menu? Let me know if I got it right. But Frigé says, and I'll go ahead and pull up the comment so that people watching can see. So she says, cook mine until it's crunchy black. Obviously.
The burger or the steak?
I'm pretty sure the burger. I'm pretty sure it's the burger. Okay, like I got our name right. Awesome. Cool.
Wow.
Good.
I would never pronounce that. That's great.
Yeah, there's several accent marks. Okay, so good. She said correct. Awesome. All right, Frigé, I appreciate your comment there. I like, you know, there are certain burgers that I like having a crunchy vibe to it. So like a smash burger.
If it's not crunchy, it's not right.
Right.
If it doesn't have that crust, it's not a smash
burger.
Gotta
have that crust, man.
I've been preaching to people about how to properly make a smash burger and you know, where I'm from versus here. Like, you know, I've been to the flats and everything. And I mean, as far as perfection, you know, that's it for a smash burger.
The flats is on point. Everybody's like, oh, it's too salty. Well, bull crap. The stuff is good. I don't know. Maybe I like a little salt.
Yeah.
But
I do.
The flats is good. And if you've never been. But, yeah, so food reviewing, the process, you get reached out or you find a restaurant that you want to go to. Do you – we kind of talked about it before we went live. But – do you let people know that you're there, or would you rather not let people know you're there? Like, how do you lean on that direction?
You know, if it's a well-known establishment that I know is going to be busy, first thing I want to do first off is get permission to film.
Okay, yeah.
I need to get permission to film inside because I do like whenever, especially lately with the new video work I'm doing, I like to actually showcase what the inside is and the outside. And hey, if you invite me in your kitchen, Let me show you, let me show you what you can do, you know, and put a little excerpt in there as well. But personally, I love when I don't tell people, but I find a lot of times when I don't, everything just goes wrong.
Yeah.
You know, my luck with like some of the top rated or most hyped up restaurants that I've been to. But typically I personally don't like, you know, I just like to just post it and then have the managers and the owners messaging me saying, why didn't you tell us you came? And, you know, it just makes it more fair game as far as getting what you get, right? Who's right behind me, you know?
I agree. So we'll talk about what it means by fair game in our food review sense. I got to get a sponsor in real quick. So if you are a fan of music or if you want to learn music, you can check out the Music Academy of Acadiana. They're Acadiana's top choice for music lessons in a ton of variety of instruments and styles. So guitar, voice, drums, violin, saxophone. If you want to learn audio production, you can learn how to make music sound better. So maybe you suck at creating music. You can make it sound better by being an audio production guy or girl, you know, because there's no gender assigned to that. That is gender fluid, a position, actually. So we'll get off that real quick. So they have a ton of instructors, tons of students. They have about 500 or so students, or probably more. This has been a year since I was told the last number, so it's been a while. They have a lot of students. They've been on TV shows like American Idol and The Voice, founded by UL Lafayette Music School graduate Tim Benson, also a member of the emo, screamo cover band, Criers. So if you're like... if you like early 2000s music, screamo, emo music, or essentially the early 2000s kind of rock-ish music, check them out, The Criers. But ultimately, their goal is to make music lessons fun, educational, and to help foster the next generation of musicians and creative thinkers. Their website is musicacademyacadiana.com. Check them out. That is it. Okay, so food reviews. Fair game. What a lot of good food reviewers do, and obviously you are relatively new. I mean, 2021, that's a couple of years now.
Still new.
Yeah, still
trying to find my ground as far as what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, and local restaurants are starting to realize who you are.
Yes.
Local food places.
Especially here. Shout out to this whole area. I mean, seriously. You guys like
Lafayette's a food place.
You guys bumped me from 3.7 to 9.2K followers. Like, I literally give all my success to Lafayette. So I'm very thankful for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thankful to have you here. I think it's really cool. I am sort of envious. I would love to have a food review channel, a food review page or TikTok, whatever. Yeah. But I'm so busy with doing this that it scratches that itch. But there's still a small little tinge of me wanting to do a food review. So every once in a while, you'll see me take pictures of food at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But I'm very, like, if I like it, I'll take a photo of it.
Yeah.
And if I don't like it, chances are I didn't take a photo of it.
That's like me.
So, but if I don't take a photo of it, don't take that as I didn't like it.
Yeah, let me make that very clear as well.
Oh, because people are going to be like, oh, he came, he didn't take a photo.
It all makes sense now.
Okay, anyway, fair game. You don't want, as a food reviewer, the restaurant owner or staff knowing that you're there. Typically, you don't want that because what will happen is, and Keith Lee has spoke on this a good bit, and I'll use his, you know, his information, his some of his talking points as reference because he's done really well.
Yeah.
And basically, if you want to experience the food that everybody is getting. So, like, the person down the road that says they had a bad experience at a restaurant.
Yeah.
You don't want to say, hey, Mr. Restaurant Owner, I'm headed to your restaurant today. Make sure you clean the bathroom. Make sure you clean the lobby because I'm coming in. And I want to make sure that if I drop my chicken nugget on the ground that I'm going to be able to pick it up and eat it. You don't want that. So what you want is you want that restaurant to be – not to say all restaurants are grimy, but you want that restaurant to be grimy. You want that restaurant to be raw and exactly what they are serving their clients and their customers on a daily basis.
Cooked.
So I guess how do you try to maintain that fairness in your views? Because obviously you do have permission to film in there. So I think that's why a lot of people film in their car.
Yeah.
To try to like.
Yeah. They trust me because there's definitely been places that I have not. I mean, truthfully, especially in where I'm from, shout out to Morgan City, but I am not welcomed in their establishments. You know, and I'm definitely not welcome to film or critique or anything. They don't want me there. And that's okay. Seriously. That's,
you didn't name the restaurant or the place, right?
No.
Okay.
I would never.
Okay.
Because I actually respect, you know, any individual, you know, and their, you know, their belief. But, so I'm, you know, to me, you know, if I'm not asked, sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to go try this place. So I'll message them and my message is usually copy and pasted. It's just like, hey, I'm a food critic. You know, I have almost 10,000 followers. I'd love to come, do a video and a written review for you. And, you know, most of the time it's always like, please come, you know. But, I personally just, I kind of want to, you know, like I said, want to get what other people get because it's really frustrating, you know, as a person, because if it's catered to me and then my friend who gets the same thing sitting in the next booth, you know, she gets a whole different kind of product, you know, what does it say about me, you know, because it was doctored. You know, and changed up and perfected for that review.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I personally don't, you know, like, I mean, I don't mind being catered. Bring me a dessert.
Yeah.
You know,
and,
you know, treat me to a dessert, you know, but like, I don't, and I tell anybody who I've ever gone to critique, they'll say, he told us this. I tell them, do not doctor this. Give me what she's going to have. You know, I always look for somebody. What she's going to have, give it to me, you know?
I think that's important to have that sense of sameness of what's being served. Because I feel like there's some people that are dishonest, and I'm not saying, you know, pointing out any particular people, but there are people that obviously get paid to do reviews and to make it look like it was an honest review, and, you know, those people have that to live with. But, you know, I think a good food reviewer that's honest and does what they got to do to make sure that the restaurant understands that it's going to be an honest review, and as long as you don't piss off the restaurant, sometimes like, you can't avoid that, really.
Oh, 1,000%.
But like also the people following you that trust the opinion, because what's going to happen, and you might have, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, is that someone that follows you that believes what you just said, oh, this product, this one item is like so good.
Yeah.
And then they go try it. Have you ever had an experience where somebody said, hey, I got this, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be?
Yeah, so I have, but I'll say this, the majority, you know, I get messages all the time daily that say, like, I've actually been places where people are like, I go everywhere you go. Every time you post, me and my wife go there. And you know, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, you know. But yeah, I've gotten, you know, not a lot of messages, but I have gotten in the past where they said, like, you know, I went and you hyped it up too much and things like that. And I'm like, you know, sorry, you know, but then you know, or a lot of times they'll send me photos and they're like, is this seriously the same thing you've gotten? And I'm like, it is, but it didn't look like that. You know, but it has happened to where,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But that's the bad thing about, you know, or the sad thing about the inconsistencies with restaurants, because, you know, it's like Forrest Gump, you never know what you're going to get.
God.
You know,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, the majority have been, you know, I remember going to one of the local food trucks in Morgan's in Berwick, and a lady came up to me and said, you know, me and my son are here because of you, because of your review. And, you know, which the only reason she recognized me was, you know, my beanie, you know, which is whatever it was,
yeah.
You know.
So, and Miss Rouget is still in the comment section. I appreciate you watching.
Yes.
That's one thing I want to, I guess, ask you about is, now that you're being recognized as a food reviewer, and mm-hmm. people are, they know what you look like now.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they're watching this, they're like, oh, I'm kind of taking a mental picture, because if this guy comes in my restaurant, I'm going to make sure he gets the cream of the crop.
Absolutely.
Dish. You're going to get the red carpet.
Get accused of being paid.
Yeah, you're gonna get accused for being paid, and like, oh, I can't trust him because he's churching it up too much.
Absolutely.
So, like, how do you plan to combat that? Because I don't think you probably didn't think about it too much in the beginning of being recognized.
No.
Because you probably didn't know if this would go anywhere.
No, because I always, you know, originally for the first few years, I kind of kept it to the Morgan City area. And then whenever I go to New Orleans, occasionally I'll go to that Zamore or something. And, you know, it wasn't a big deal the way it is now. I've definitely been recognized by owners of restaurants, by a bakery that we were talking about earlier. You know, I walked in and she's like, I know who you are.
Oh, no.
You're the Cajun critic.
But what's good about a bakery?
She's so sweet.
Yeah. So are you okay with mentioning the name?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they're the sweetest.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's a piece of cake, Lafayette, Louisiana. And they were the absolute sweetest people. Their review hits, I think, tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a promotion and a review. First time ever having their cake slices. And they were having a $2, once a month, $2 cake slice sale. And I bought like 30, 40 bucks worth.
Wow.
And did I eat all that? Yeah, a good bit of them. And I'm going to tell you, seriously, I'll say it on the air, like one of the best cake slices I've ever, hands down, ever
okay.
had.
All right. That's bold.
It is.
So the owner of Piece of Cake, Lafayette, Morgan Reed.
Yeah, it's Morgan.
Do you know her husband?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. Am I supposed to?
You probably have heard about him, but, you know, maybe not. He's a radio personality.
Okay.
What radio station do you listen to the most?
Spotify.
God dang it. Okay. Are you familiar with Hot 107.9 or 99.9?
Nope.
No. All right.
So maybe I haven't heard of him.
You probably didn't.
Oh.
His name is Chris Reed.
Okay.
He is a longtime radio personality.
Really?
In the Lafayette area. So,
wow.
Yeah. So her husband is Chris Reed, and he does a lot of radio work.
I'm about to tune in on my way home.
Yeah. So I think he's on 99.9 KTDY.
Okay.
So it's like the top hits channel was like the 80s, 90s, and today, even though
that's my music.
When you say today, like today is 2024, so you went from the 90s and you skipped completely over the early 2000s.
Oh,
so
man.
I know that's their tagline.
Some of the best songs.
I know. So I'm looking at another comment from Miss Rouget. She says everyone doesn't have the same taste buds. Something may taste great to him, but not to others. I rather try the food myself and never return if the food is nasty.
Mm.
Hey,
yep,
that is definitely your prerogative. You can approach it however you want. Obviously, everybody does have different tastes.
Oh, for sure.
Obviously, our taste buds are all different.
Doesn't that suck?
Yeah, it does suck because like I might like a certain pickle.
Yep,
but I think that pickle tastes great, but if I tell you to eat that pickle, and you're going to be like, oh, this pickle sucks.
There's
not enough pepper.
Yeah. Not enough juice, man.
I know, man. Cajun Eats, Couillon Food Trailer says, what's up, peeps?
Man. So I'm going to be seeing him. I did a one-parter review. I had written and done a video, and I have to go back and do like two or three more items next week. He's going to be in ERAF next week. So I'm going to finally finish the review and actually release it. I don't know if you ever had his truck or his food. Man, he's got like a Fado Dough quesadilla, which has like chicken, boudin, crawfish, like 7 or 8 different things in it. Big old huge quesadilla.
Nice.
Good stuff. Seriously, good stuff. That's your little preview.
Yeah. I want to show a couple of your TikToks or your videos.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and pull them up real quick. See if I can make sure that I'm connected here. All right, there's one there. And then just pulling up some video footage for you guys. So if you're watching, give me a second. All right, and I think we're good to go. So let's see. So is this Fado Dough? Oh, geez. I got one more in just a second. Hey, the comments are coming through. That's awesome.
Sweet.
So a Michael Bush says, hey, guys, watching from Franklin, Louisiana.
Michael, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And then Ms. Frugier, thank you for sticking through this podcast.
Still with us.
Yummy. I love Mexican food. We all love Mexican food. Have you not been to Lafayette?
Man, let me tell you something about you guys. Mexican. Everyone
Dude.
Complains where I'm from. We have nothing but Mexican and Chinese, but you guys have Mexican.
You know
and
why
Mexican.
We have so much Mexican? I'll
no.
tell you right now. If anybody's listening and you want to know why Lafayette has so many Mexican restaurants, it's because one of the most successful, I guess I would just say successful, but the guy who owns the majority of the Mexican restaurants, I say the majority, like a good chunk of them, in Lafayette and around Louisiana, North Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, mm-hmm. Arkansas, lives in Lafayette.
Come on, man. I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah, the guy lives in Lafayette.
Wow.
And he's the owner of El Paso.
Okay, wow.
So we got a bunch of El Pasos. That's the guy. Pedro's.
Okay, yeah.
Owner of Pedro's.
Yeah.
He's probably owner of some other stuff.
17
But Pedro's in El Paso. Like, he, this guy buys a lot of the... old Ryan's places.
Yep.
So like in Opelousas, he bought the old Ryan's and turned it into a Pedro's. It's so busy. Almost every night it's busy. And then in Lafayette, he has the El Paso. That was like an Italian restaurant, Sage or something like that, a while back. He's got El Paso in there. He's got Pedro's that went into the old Logan's Roadhouse.
Okay, yep.
And Pedro's in Lafayette does great. My wife loves the margaritas.
Yeah.
He owns El Paso and Karen Crow, which that location took years to open. I don't know if you were around to see.
Listening to the news, yeah, I was.
Like, so I first posted that El Paso was coming to Karen Crow in 2017. It opened like in the past year.
Yeah.
Give or take a year, year and a half.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, it's recently opened.
Oh,
and it took so long to build. But it's great. Everybody in Carecrow loves it. So,
yeah, I guess that's what matters.
And then you got Superior Grill coming.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are definitely hyped up for that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So we got another viewer. So Ashley Dolan. El Paso and Karen Crow and Youngsville too, right? Yes, Ashley. Youngsville and Karen Crow, he owns those as well. Yeah. So the El Pasos throughout the Gulf Coast, like, owns them all.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she said wow. So yeah, she saw that. I know that's not food review related, but you know, just talking about why we have so many Mexican.
It will be once I go there.
Yeah, dude, you need to try El Paso and Pedro's. Mm-hmm. Give your honest review. I'm curious to see what you think of it. My personal favorite at most Mexican restaurants, there's a couple, and it's usually the gringo special, the white boy special, or white girl, whatever.
That's right.
Is the chicken and rice plate. They call it the happy plate.
Okay.
It's just grilled chicken, Spanish rice or Mexican rice, doused in queso.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
It's amazing. And it heats well.
Yeah.
It's good for leftovers. You get a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the cheaper items on the menu.
Oh, wow.
So, like, hits all the points.
I'm going to go there today.
Dude, you might. Like, I'm telling you. But also street tacos.
Yeah.
I love a good street taco. And what I mean by street taco, like, the tortillas are tiny.
Yes.
But, like, you get, like, three of them. And the majority of the fixings on it is, like, the protein, the onion, white onion.
Yes.
Okay. Cilantro and maybe some crema or something like that on
it. Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's all you should need.
Yeah. And then you get, like, maybe a little lime dip or I know you get a lime, too, to drizzle over it. But, like, yeah, you just need a little bit of something. It's some of the best. But Pedro's has good street tacos. Just
come on.
Out there.
It's so funny. My friend, you know, I have a friend of mine. He gets street tacos and he adds lettuce, cheese, and I said, buddy, don't, please don't.
Well, look, back to our own personal taste, and taste buds. Perhaps he likes the taste of those ingredients.
Look, the taste is definitely great and all, but whenever I go to a place, I want to get it served how they originally serve it, especially like taco or street tacos in particular. Like you said, it's like three or four primary ingredients and everything else can be added. But, you know, and it does, of course, like lettuce, you know, lettuce and cheese, it'll enhance things I want to taste the meat. I want to taste the fresh cilantro and the onions.
And cilantro is another thing.
I love cilantro,
clearly.
I do, yeah.
Some people think it tastes like soap.
Some people think it tastes like grass.
It is technically grass.
And I'm like, think about that.
You know, growing up, I was a super picky eater. My wife, if she's listening, she's going to be like, yes, you are, because I still am.
Me too.
But, I like cilantro.
Come on.
I do. And I don't see the issue with it. Does it have a unique flavor? It does. But combine it with an onion and the protein.
Absolutely.
It's magic. Absolutely. And like guacamole, growing up, I hated the look of guacamole.
Still do.
It looks disgusting. It's green and it gets dark green if you let it sit out. Yep. It just looks terrible. But if it's made right with the onion and the cilantro and the tomato and the lime, it's so good. And it's good for you.
I was forced to eat guacamole for the first time the other day, and I had
forced.
Yes,
well, you don't have to force it.
I mean, you know, they really wouldn't. They didn't force me, but she was like, "Oh, I'm telling you, you're going to be amazed." And I'm like, "I don't like guacamole whatsoever. I've never tried it."
Okay, see, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Well, the problem was I took a forkful, which, as you know, isn't much. It was very safe, and I'm like, you know, I ate it. And I'm like, nah.
Ate it by itself.
Yeah, she had it in like a dip, you know, and I'm like, let me try it. And I'm like, oh, no, this is terrible.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was supposed to have it with something because she just told me dip it in with a chip, and I'm like, oh, no. I mean,
it's fine if you eat it by itself, but guacamole, avocado is a fat. It's a healthy fat.
Yeah, it is.
You need a chip. You need a taco to eat it with. Preferably chips. Chips and guacamole they hit all the time.
I couldn't eat anything else though. You gotta understand, I had like a 5-course meal, you know, and I just did it because they wanted me to, and I was like, mm-mm. I'll go back and retry it with chips.
Ashley Dolan says, I hate cilantro, tastes like dish soap. It's so crazy.
You know what? Now I'm gonna eat cilantro and think about dish. I've never ever thought about dish soap.
I know. And then our girl, genius. Fruge, says, I love cilantro, too. I add cilantro to hot tea. Hold up. I don't know. I don't know. Hot tea. Man, I love tea. Sweet tea.
Yeah, sweet tea. I mean, then again, like, you know, me personally, whenever I'm sick, I have, like, herbs, you know.
Yeah,
I put some herbal supplements or something in my tea. And
marijuana. So,
no, more like, you know, what's the stuff that makes you sleepy?
Lavender.
Yeah, lavender.
Oh, yes, things like lavender, that. Man. And, what?
Yeah, man. Green tea with some lavender in it.
Well, you got a good bubble bath too with this?
No. Sometimes. Sometimes.
Oh, Fruge says not sweet tea. Oh, man. Well,
okay, so we're talking about just normal hot tea. Okay, got it.
So Ashley, thank you for sticking around too. Caleb, you should try out Lucia Bakehouse while you're in Lafayette.
So funny story, I was supposed to do that for the king cakes, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think people were saying like it's not your normal king cake, but I did 80 plus king cakes in 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks. And they were one of the last people I didn't cover here. Twins and Lucia, I think, were the only two. It might have been three that I didn't cover of the entire area. but I didn't get to go to Lucia. But it is on my list to actually visit because it is a bakery.
It's actually so we're right off College Slim. It's literally just down the road.
Okay, I'll go there right after.
I'm telling you.
Just to try something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect.
Literally, like, not even a mile down the road, I don't think. So you cross over Pinhook, and there it is.
Wow.
And I'm Ashley, they own L.A. Cheesecake Bakery. Ashley and her husband, Seth. L.A. Cheesecake Bakery, man. If you like cheesecake.
You're talking about, like, Louisiana?
Yeah, L.A. Cheesecake. Not Louisiana Cheesecake Bakery. It's still technically Louisiana. It's an abbreviation. L.A. Cheesecake Bakery. They're off of Gilbo. You're going to need to check that out,
I think
too.
That's like my best friends. I never knew their name. They started from their home.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's my I call them my best friends because I'm always, usually every Lafayette visit, I go and see them and have their cheesecake and their keto bites.
Okay, yeah, then you know them. So yes. She says, we have the crew at LA Cheesecake Bakery watching while we're on slow.
Oh, come on now. I got to go visit him today.
There you go. So you know him. All right.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, she says Caleb knows this. He bought he bought from our house. Okay, see?
Seriously, like, this was like years and years ago, our friendships was bonded and created. But their keto bites, I mean, that's what I had for like 5 or 6 years. And recently, I finally had the real cheesecake, which is a whole nother level. But like, the keto bites itself, oh my goodness, shout out to them, man, because... flavor wise and everything. Now they have like their waffle cones with the cheesecake inside of them. Good stuff.
Let me tell you, these guys are great people.
I didn't know that was their names.
Yes. Well, now you do. Seth and Ashley Dolan. Yeah. I did an interview with Seth around Christmas time.
Such a good guy, man.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. And these guys work.
Yes.
I mean, there was a day, my wife and I were having dinner one night at, I can't even remember the restaurant. It was probably close to a year now, or give or take. And it was like 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I told my wife, I said, it would have been so nice to have a cheesecake right now from like a cheesecake place that's not the restaurant's cheesecake or whatever. And so... we were like, I wonder if LA Cheesecake Bakery is open. And it just so happens that it was not. It had closed, I think, at like 6 or something. And having did a post for LA Cheesecake Bakery, I reached out and said, hey, y'all are not open, right? Like, just make sure.
I did the same thing.
He goes, no, but he's like, man, if you want to come by, like, we're there. I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop it.
That's so crazy.
And then they gave us a cheesecake and all that good stuff. And they were there. Like, they lived just down the road from their shop. So, yeah. I mean, it was really cool that they came out of the house at night to go over there and stop with us. So that was cool. So, yeah, definitely shout out to them. Great people. My wife went to school with Ashley and they knew each other somehow. So it's like, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, small town vibes, man.
This is before the Cajun Critique page, everything was created. This is literally years and years ago. They were selling their house. And I remember finally getting to them because I was going to the Lafayette Comic Con, or Louisiana Comic Con in Lafayette. And I'm telling you, and I was really strictly hardcore keto for like years and years. So, you know, they were probably, you know, they were one of the biggest helps as for me to stay on it whenever I crave sweets, you know. And but, yeah, I remember meeting them the first time, going to their house. And, you know, she was introducing herself and telling me about the business. And then whenever they got their new place, I was like, well-deserved.
Yeah.
Well-deserved in every way. Seriously, man. I'm a huge advocate. Even though I don't know their names, because I just say, hey, my friends, every time I walk in the place. And I'm always bringing somebody who has never had their cheesecakes all the time. But, you know, I walk in, and, I mean, I'm just so glad to see them doing so well. And but they're always baking, always doing something, you know.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. So I got another video, one more for you guys to watch. And I know we're getting close to an hour, and I want to respect your time because I am not Joe Rogan. I can't do 4 hours, and I say that a lot of the times. The longest podcast that I've done was almost 2 hours, and I was starting to chafe. I was like, oh my God, I gotta,
come on, man.
I'm like, plus it was also a hard interview. It was a politician interview, and it was one of the politicians that was making a lot of stink in the neighborhood.
Oh,
I say in the neighborhood in Lafayette.
They're like, we all remember that one.
Yeah, a lot of people watch that one, and I'm sorry that it was 2 hours long. So anyway, Ashley says thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna play this video. This is a short TikTok of Cotan's Eatery. It's a burger food truck. Good friend Ronnie. So I'm gonna play.
Yo, that. You wanna see something cool? No. Well, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Step into the scene. No, nobody can do it like me. Zoop house plate with the kick cuisine.
There we go.
It's one of my first ones before I even got my new camera system and everything. But hey, showcase the food, showcase how good it was, and you know, his truck.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah. So before we go, that's kind of something I want to talk about is how your content is evolving. So now you've gotten a lav mic and stuff like that to be able to make legitimate, like, talking head kind of reviews.
Sure.
I say legitimate, but that's the most common because you're legitimate.
You're more legit.
Yeah, you are more legit now.
Too legit.
Hey, don't quit. God. There we go. Oh, my God. Oh. I hope that sound came through all right. I think it was the drum sound. I don't know.
If it didn't, it's okay.
Yeah, something played. I don't know.
An airplane.
An airplane did play just in the background, but it was a real plane flying over us. Okay, so... Your content is evolving. So how do you plan on growing your following now, and like how do you plan on maintaining the growth that you're having, and like what is your look into the future for this page and the critique?
Well, in general, it's been difficult because, you know, the more followers I'm getting, which it's been rapidly, you know, a couple hundred, you know, 200-300 a week average.
That's good.
It's really been excellent. Seriously, man. But it brings on a whole new pressure of me, you know, and feeling the need to go do 20 critiques a week.
Exactly.
Because I want to put on the content, and even whenever I'm supposed to only release one every 2 or 3 days, I'm still releasing 4 in 3 days because I just want it out there and want people to, you know, go to these places. And but as far as like continuing, you know, like, you know, originally I started with just written reviews and just taking a couple photos and that was it.
You was an elite Yelper.
Pretty much. But, you know, it was really good and all, but I kind of always wanted to expand into the video base because, as you know, videos is where it's at. I mean, people would rather watch a video than read a 4-page essay about how delicious a burger is. And
the only reason I want to read anything about food at the moment is if it tells me the recipe.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Like, if it's a short thing, like a lot of my posts for businesses are short, like 300 words or less. I try to make it as consumable as I can. Mm-hmm. And I know that humans are humans and they're not going to click the link half the time. They're going to read the headline and be like, okay, cool. I see a cover photo. I see the headline. I think I got everything I need. But I also put little hidden Easter eggs in the text. But that's not about you. That's just, you know, just me showing relatable.
No, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, you know, it's I just want to kind of continue, you know. I'm doing more video based and I have a, you know, wireless lavalier system. I do want to find a cameraman. So I'm able to be in front of the camera instead of just narrating, which, by the way, it's awesome because I know so many people do it. They narrate, you know, after putting the entire video together. And also you can say a lot more than, you know, right there on the spot because you've had time to process what you've eaten. So I like to do both. But, I would honestly, the next step is just finding a cameraman for me to be able to proceed to do more stuff, kind of like the TikToks, you know, and how they're filmed and not be like them, because, again, I do want to be authentic. I do want to be, not saying they're not, but I just want to be like myself, you know, and do how I would like to do it. Because right now, you know, I'm doing all of it. I'm there. I'm filming. I'm editing, which, you know, I love doing. It's also one of my passions is editing and just trying to find new ways to make things, make videos more interesting. So, I'm hoping just to continue doing what I do. But the pressure is getting hot. And the pressure, seriously, I think about that every night. Like, where am I going tomorrow? Because I got to get more content. Even though I'm like 25, 30, you know, videos backlogged right now. I need more.
So before we go, got a couple more comments. And then I'll talk about one more thing. So Frugier says, places I need to visit are Katan's Eatery and LA Cheesecake Bakery. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
And then Ashley Dolan says, I'm the nerd that usually reads through it all. I appreciate you, Ashley.
Yes.
I need the nerds.
That's right.
I need the nerds. Because I put tricks. Stuff in there that I think is funny, yeah. But like I like keep it low key, and I'm like, somebody's going to get this. And there's always at least one or two people that in the comments say, hey, I saw what you did. I'm like, yes.
Oh, nice.
So yeah. So if there's any inspiration for you there, drop low key things in your videos.
That's
that
cool.
Maybe people won't necessarily see right off the bat.
Okay, things in the background.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, because I'm getting hungry now, and I have a friend that I'm going to meet for lunch. Burnout. You're talking about all these videos and all the places that you're going.
Yeah.
As a content creator myself, whether you want to call me a content creator or not, I don't know. I am, because I'm like creating content literally right now. And I try my best to make what I do as efficient as possible, limiting the amount of work that I have to do. Mm. That's why this podcast is live. So if you're watching right now, there's no camera people behind these cameras.
No.
There's a wall. There's some lights. And I'm manning the soundboard and the video feed right here in front of me. People at my church who I'm part of the media crew at church, go, oh, you need a camera guy or you need a media guy. Or I'm like, I'm going to have to pay them.
Yeah.
And we are running lean. Yeah. So I do what I can to simplify everything, do it all in one shot. Editing takes a lot of work. I do some edited stuff on the side of the podcast that are not live. I do edited things.
Yeah.
But I make them as simple as I can. So with that, how are you going to go into the future of this, knowing that you're going to grow, the demand is going to get even greater to the point where people are going to be literally begging. They're probably already close to that.
They are. seriously, yeah.
How are you going to prevent burnout? Like, how are you going to survive 5-10 years down the road? Because I'm on my 12th or 13th year doing this.
Wow. It's crazy, man.
And look, I've wanted to quit a lot. There's been a lot of times where I'm like, I'm done. But then I remember the reason why I started this was because there was something that I felt was missing in Lafayette. So going back to asking you the question, how do you plan to prevent yourself from burning out and overdoing the content creation for food reviews?
I don't even think it's necessarily burning out as far as the future. I think it's just the weight gain, you know? I mean, I'm being honest with you, brother. I'm serious. Like, you know, there's days where I go and do like, you know, 6 or 8 burgers in a row. And
a day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a... Do you have a physician that follows you around? Maybe you don't need a cameraman. Maybe you need a physician.
A dietitian?
Yeah, you need a nutritionist, a dietitian. You need something.
At the end of the day, I go to LA, Cheesecake Bakery, and I have a keto bite. It's okay. It's okay. You know, but no, I really, like, there was only one time I wanted to quit, and that was because I just didn't feel like I was getting where I wanted to after years of doing this. And then the next day, I hit it. Seriously.
Okay.
I did my first King Cake review, and that was it. And then it went from, like I said, 3.7K to where I am now, almost 10,000 followers. And that was just recent. That was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But as far as burning out, man, I love it. First of all, I'm a foodie. I'm a foodie. Do I ever get tired of eating food? Ask yourself that question.
No, you don't ever get tired of eating food. You need it.
You know, like, so like burning out wise, especially my editing, you know, whenever I film personally in the last few videos I've done, my editing takes 10 minutes at the most. And the only thing else I have to do after putting it is narrate it, which takes quite a bit of takes. You'll never know.
Yeah, no, I trust me, I'm right there with you. I've narrated a couple of videos, and I've sat in this very seat narrating with this mic, or I got a little wired lav now, and I've had to delete an audio recording like 30 times. I'm like, why did I say that? Why did I say that? Or why did I go blah, blah, blah?
Yep.
Like, just, you know, you do stupid stuff, and you're like, this is so easy. Why can't I get it out in one shot?
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time. And, you know, watching blooper reels, I realize now why there's so many bloopers, because when you got a line in your head and you're trying to get it out and deliver it right, sometimes it doesn't come out right.
It doesn't. It never does. You know, sometimes I'll do three words and I have to splice the rest and then after three words, do another one.
And
by the way, you guys will know I did that once you watch the videos and you hear me. The first 3 seconds was filmed at 7 o'clock in the morning. Then 45 seconds of the next part was like filmed at 8 o'clock at night. And I sound completely different. Yeah. You know, like I just woke up. And then the other one just sounds like I've been awake for a while, you know. But I mean, you know, as far as burning out itself, man, I just don't see me getting burnt out because I love traveling. I love meeting people. I love talking to people. And I love understanding and my favorite thing ever is, you know, asking, why'd you open up this place?
Yeah.
You know, and because it's always different answers. Some people say, oh, I just had some money laying around. I said, okay. But then some of them say, like, necessity. I love, like, this community and things like that. And, but yeah, like, burning out wise, I just, you know, I hope it doesn't happen because, again, like, if I get tired of burgers, there's fried chicken. You know,
yeah, you're gonna move to something else.
A fried chicken crawl, you know. And I will say this: the only time I ever was burnt out was due to the king cakes. You know, after
you said 80,
yeah, I did.
Them,
I did.
Huh?
I think it was 83 was the total, 81 or 83 in 23 or 24 days. But after the third king cake, I started getting sick, just from number three.
Yeah.
And then I did the 28 in a day at a festival. And I was just throwing up in a trash can after every two.
I bet.
Because
that's
I couldn't
so much.
Do it. And I was really worried, by the way. Let me just say this. So the finale was, I think I have diabetes. Like, I just felt so sick.
I was
trying to get off of like not being, you know, on all this sugar, and I was having the shakes for about 10, 12 days nonstop because my body needs to be reset. I'll probably never, ever do that again because that was hard. That was really, really difficult. And now I'm king cake clean free for like a couple weeks now.
You're not having king cake withdrawals, are you?
Not anymore. That's how I was. I went 10 days of not leaving my house trying to get my head, my body correct. Yeah, that was a horrible mistake, but I did it for them.
Dude, well, look, I appreciate the hustle on it. My only word of advice is pace yourself.
Yeah.
Do it because you love it, not because you're being told to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
And do be careful with the amount that you consume.
Oh,
because
for sure.
There have been, and I'm not, obviously I'm not trying to like freak you out or anything.
No.
But there was a couple of people that had pretty decent sized following on Instagram. Mm-hmm. One of them was, I think it was Eating Lafayette or Eat. I don't think it was Eat Lafayette because that's an organization. Mm-hmm. Eating Lafayette or Eating Acadiana. It was one of them. I think it had an Acadiana colored alligator as the logo. And he was a guy that was going around, you know, basically promoting restaurants, taking photos and eating.
Yeah.
And he passed away. I don't want to say it was because he was eating a lot.
He was young?
He was younger. Yeah. I mean, he was pretty much our age.
Man.
Yeah. It's been a couple of years now, but like, I found out that he passed away. I'm like, dude. And I'm hearing a lot more. It's like, it feels more of a regular occurrence that.
Yeah.
People that consume a lot of food in one day.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just.
I try to have a couple of days where I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, most people want to know, I do cook at home. I don't just eat out every day 17 times a day. My daily regimen is literally, I have a Rectech smoker, so I smoke a whole chicken, a rotisserie chicken, and swai fish, and... I have green beans and broccoli. That's my everyday. And then at night, I have a keto cereal from Sam's Club.
Okay.
That is every day what I eat if I'm not over here, if I'm not critiquing.
Yeah, so you're not eating keto except for LA Cheesecake Bakery.
Yeah, 100%. But I very much eat clean if I'm not critiquing. That's my, I really rarely ever change it.
Jeez, you know? Man.
Yeah, and one whole rotisserie chicken lasts me an entire week of meals.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's rotisserie. Crazy. I love rotisserie chicken.
Me too.
Yeah. all right, man. That is all I've got. Honestly, it has been a really fun episode. I think that the comment section has been really good. I think everybody that has watched, hopefully you enjoyed it. Again, if you want to follow his pages, got them linked in the caption. You can find them on TikTok, and you can find them on Facebook, and maybe Instagram too. I don't know.
Nope.
Nope, not Instagram. All right, TikTok and Facebook.
Two's enough.
Facebook is the largest account that he has. That's almost 10,000 followers now. my voice is starting to wear out. My throat's sore. So, yeah, y'all go check him out. And, yeah, if you know a restaurant that needs a good food reviewer and they want an honest review, tell them to check out the Cajun Critique. And with that, Caleb, it was a pleasure having you on.
Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
And I hope that you have a lot of new followers, or at least start to get a lot more followers from this. As always, I can't guarantee anything, but it was true. A great conversation.
Absolutely, man. Pays off, man.
And I look forward to seeing more content from you and see how you improve and see how you grow, because food is big. You know that in South Louisiana, especially Lafayette.
Oh, yeah.
So I think your page is going to scale rather quickly to the point to where you're going to need help.
Yeah.
You're going to need help.
I'm looking forward to that day, because awesome. Right now I need help.
All right, guys. Well, that is it. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next one. All right, Caleb, have a good one.
All right.